92.3 Free FM. WFNY FM. New York. David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Radio, David Lee, B. Young's Being Bad there. Listen to that. So go ahead, take one more spin on that. Somebody had his Red Bull early this morning, huh?
I'll get to the bottom of this.
That's what you got to stock is Red Bull. I forgot. To wash down all that tuna. Tuna and Red Bull. It sounds like a disc jockey team, doesn't it? Well, maybe Isaac Hayes is going to be the next disc jockey coming on to join the routine here, because evidently he's leaving the South Park thing. South Park's co-creator Matt Stone says that, I'm reading this off the news, that Isaac Hayes is... Do you say Hayes or Hayes's?
Hayes.
That's him, how you says it, right? This is that Isaac Hayes' sudden request to leave Comedy Central's hit animated shows is specifically due to episodes' poking fun at Scientology. He revealed that the show's producers only stayed away from the sect in deference to Hayes. To be honest, what kept us from doing it before was Isaac Hayes, he says. This is the fellow who's one of the creators of South Park. We knew he was a Scientologist, what was your third clue, and he's an awesome guy. Agreed. We're like, let's just avoid that for now. Understood. Stone added that the South Park producers finally decided to take on Scientology after learning that magician Penn Jillette, a friend, was allegedly banned from mocking Scientology on his Showtime program BS. It's the real word, but I'm going to say BS. Finally, we just had to tell Isaac, dude, every time I see the word dude written on a page, I got to laugh here. Finally, we just had to tell Isaac, dude, we totally love working with you. And this is, why do I talk like this once you start with the word dude? It's so built into me that once you start with that word, you turn into that dude. Dude, we totally love working with you, man. And this is like nothing personal. There's my hand. And it's just like we're South Park. You got to speak with your hand, right? And like we don't do this, we're belittling everything else we've ripped on. No word on how Hayes' character will be written out of the show, which is also the network's highest rated program. Isaac, smooth moves, X-Lax. Come on now, what's happening? What's happening here to this country? Animal, maybe you know.
Oh no, it's somebody threw another twist in it last night. They say South Park, you know, they crashed everybody's religion and they had fun with it. Even Isaac did. But when they start crashing his religion, then he had a problem with it, and that's why he wanted off the show. And that's
yeah, but the Scientologists are really reflexive about this, right?
Yeah. They was going to kill the guy. What was his name that started it?
L. Ron Hubbard?
Yeah, they was going to kill L. Ron Hubbard on the show, and then he had a problem with that.
Well, whatever it is, whatever the content is, it's a cartoon. If you can't move to comic illustration as a means of satire or parody, South Park is one of the easiest to digest, right? There was a point in time when the only true music critics that were on MTV was Beavis and Butthead. They were the only ones who would say exactly what everybody else was already thinking, right? We've had gossip columnists, for example, on the show or calling in on the show. And some of them are really adept at saying what you're thinking. They'll say what they're really thinking. A few of them show up and you know that they're hanging out with the very people that they're supposed to be having fun with, right? So it turns into a public relations meeting. So what about Paris Hilton? Ah, great girl. What about Paris's problem in the paper? Probably is still a great girl. And it turns into a promotions meeting, okay? I think when we're talking about Isaac, then it turns into kind of the same thing, all right? When it turns into religion, we kind of shy away from it. We don't want to talk about it. But where else could you talk about it than in a cartoon? I'm hesitant to use the word cartoon because it's well beyond that. It's comic illustration, all right? And they do two things really well. You know the difference between parody and satire? Parody is when you just make fun of exactly what is. You got somebody with a big nose like me, then you draw it with a bigger nose. And you have them talking on a microphone in a radio station. That's a parody. If Santa Claus walks in while I'm on the microphone and he has the same nose, that's gone completely out of control. That would never happen. That's satire. And I think Hutch is thinking that could happen. Do you follow my reasoning, though? And that's what South Park does. They take familiar characters and put them in sequences of events that would never, ever happen. How many times are we going to kill Kenny, for Christ's sake? Come on, man. Exactly, until the last syllable of time, like Bill Shakespeare said, because it would never really happen that way. You'd never actually have those characters in the same room, much less the same closet, all right? And to actually point at that and say that that's making fun of something, well, of course it is. That's healthy. That's the way you enjoy things. I've taken some flack for making fun of some of the very records and musicians that I love. That's the first way I learned to enjoy books and music and the movies. As a little kid, I had no patience. No kid does, all right? I don't have ADD. I don't have attention deficit syndrome. It's just as a little kid, you never have any patience. So what's the way you can teach a kid to enjoy, for example, symphonic music? Make fun of it. Hey, don't the flutes sound funny? Listen to the violins. They sound like they're so-and-so. They sound like they're laughing. Hey, sounds like everybody's speeding up and running down a stairway. And then from there, you can begin to share. Well, listen, here's how they make that sound. Here's how we do whatever. When you're looking at something like South Park and what they're making fun of, the first thing you want to do is laugh at it. Take the bitter pill with a little sugar on it. You follow? And then you can begin to discuss issues like Scientology and what it really means. And religious conflict. Because everybody's in conflict on South Park. Just like real life. But what I'm getting tired of, is this crybaby, whiny ass, grew way up too close to Aunt Edna sissy stuff, where somebody said something bad about something you hold true and dear to you, and now it's going to wind up in the papers. There's always a potential lawsuit involved. Jay Leno is going through this same retard nonsense. Jay Leno knows that comedy means something happening, sometimes means having to say you're sorry. Let me read this. This comes from L.A. After Leno's Tonight Show aired a sketch that compared Vice President Dick Cheney's hunting accident to a 2003 videotaped shooting outside a L.A. courthouse, he received a letter of complaint from a viewer. Wendy Brogan, a friend of shooting victim Gerald Curry, wrote to Leno condemning the recent sketch as offensive and asking him to do the right thing relative to this matter. I wonder if she asked him to do the right thing through an attorney. Within days, Leno responded with a phone call that greatly impressed Brogan. Okay, Brogan. The Daily News of L.A. Reported Tuesday, he wrote, and I want to apologize. I just want to let you know we made mistakes sometimes, and we don't mean to hurt anybody. Hey, you mean to hurt people sometimes. Some people, like Tony Soprano says, you got to get their attention before they start thinking straight. Come on. What are we going to do to all these individuals? Are we just going to harass them out of existence? Is that where comedy's going? If we can't even tolerate a cartoon at this point in time, we're going to do these people what we did to Lenny Bruce? You can drive people right out of business very, very quickly. All you got to do is sue. All you got to do is take up somebody's active time. Sounds like what might be happening with Stern at this point in time. How do you think about what you're doing as an artist when every single day you're on the phone for hours? Pre-meetings, office meetings, deposition meetings, legal meetings, accountant meetings, etc. You can't do what you're doing as an artist. Ultimately, you'll bottom out. You'll quit. or you'll kill yourself at some slow pace with a bottle or whatever. That's the routine here. And with everybody having to apologize for what they're doing as an artist, okay, I'm gonna kind of be on the fence as far as a video game that is a cop-killing video game. But again, that's on every television show. That's on every movie, right? So where do you draw the line here? Every time these people now, Jay Leno, every time South Park goes on that TV set again, now they're going to have it in the back of their mind instead of let's just go forward. Let's just lead with our face here. They're going to have it in their mind, is this cool to say? Is this okay? Let me start worrying about the individual sensitivities. Let's all, you know, sit in a circle and hold hands. Hold on. Turn the music off. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Okay, that's my comedy sketch.
All right.
No, that wouldn't be allowed to float. I just made fun of the Boy Scouts. I just made fun of the YMCA. I just made fun of everybody who's ever been sitting around a campfire. Insensitive, Dave.
Wow.
Give me a call here one time, Hutch. 866-313-3733. Mark, you're on. Talk to me.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good, Mark. What do you think about this?
Good. You know one thing I don't understand about the Isaac Hayes thing? Here's a man that's been doing, I don't know how long the show's been on, 7, 8 years, whatever. I'm assuming from the first time he read the first script as a man of color, he knew what type of show this was going to be. In other words, he knows it's going to be, like, outrageous, and they're going to talk about black issues and homosexuality and everything else. Coming as a an older gentleman that's probably grew up in hard times as a African American, why would the Scientology thing make him say, "Whoa, whoa, this is way too much," as opposed to all the other racial issues that comes up on this show?
Well,
I
do know what you mean, and I agree with you. And he invoked that in yesterday's news release, is that he had been a part. This was a quote from him, that he had been a part of the civil rights movement for over 40 years. I'm curious as to why he would even say that, is as a retort to people asking about his problem in concerning Scientology. You think that's just a card that he's playing to throw a little more weight on the scale?
You know what? It could be that. It could be, you know, maybe he wants to relook at his, you know, his contract, make more money or something. But I'm just, and you can pick your fights, as opposed to, you could say, talking about black people and using the N-word and things like that are fine, but Scientology is where it really hits home. That's his prerogative. He could do that. But, yeah, I think it seems like there got to be more to it. It has to be, because the first day he read that script, he knew what he was getting into. He knew it was going to be something outrageous, something over the top, something, you know, so far to one side that, you know, I've seen the show, like most people have, and they got a small African-American child and they named Token. He's a token black child. Are you telling me that as a person of color, that is fine? You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Let me ask you this. Are you familiar enough with Scientology that you can speak to this? What happened that made him tip to the other side of the fence? I'm wondering if the folks behind the scenes at Scientology, which almost qualifies as a voter bloc now, it's almost a political organization. It's beyond religion, okay? I'll define it as cultural. That's a halfway point, okay? It's not just a religion anymore. It's a lifestyle. It's closer to being Mormon or Amish at this point in time. I'm wondering if the powers that be came down into his studio and said, you can't be a part of this anymore, and that he bowed to pressure that may well be coming from what's considered his new family. What do you think of that?
Good point. You know, I never thought of it that way. That's a very good point. And I, you know what, it could be the fact that somebody's saying, you know what, Isaac, this is really going too far. You know, your beliefs are strong in this, and maybe you should rethink about it. And if you tell the creators of it, they'll listen to you, and maybe they won't do it. You said something earlier about that they wanted to do it a long time ago. Because of Mr. Hayes, they decided not to. So now, all of a sudden, you know what I mean? It's definitely an issue that they want to do it, and something's holding them back. I think they've gone, again, so around the world with this show that I don't think there'd be anything that he wouldn't decide not to do, because they've almost done everything on there.
Yeah, I'm very curious. Probably needed the cash and the exposure when he first started out. And then as he grew in his popularity, and of course Scientology in the last 10 years has been exponential in its growth. You see the centers in every major inner city in the United States, and they really have their stuff wired tight. Right. You know, most of the time when you go into the Scientology, I call it a lab, over on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles, no matter how late at night it is or how early in the morning, there's 20, 30 people sitting in there taking the entrance exams and writing up the entrance applications. All those people are already Scientologists posing as potential people coming off the street. So when somebody like little Sasha goes walking down the street, she looks through the window and goes, wow, the place is packed. Yeah. This must be hip. I wonder what's attracting so many people at 11:30 at night on a Tuesday. And you're probably wondering what Sasha doing up on a school night. She says, wow, those kids look like me. She walks in the door. She doesn't know that they're already the devout. Those are already disciples, and that's a bait and switch. You follow?
Bait and switch. Yeah, it's a good sell. It's an awesome sell.
Yeah, it's a great selling tactic, and this is an organization that is not beyond that. I'm wondering how much farther they're going to go. When it becomes lawsuits, that's when I'll raise my voice, and I smell it coming around the corner. As soon as all of this starts lining up, you've got Tom Cruise, you know, going off on this. Now, you got Hayes. These are very, very visible people. I think it's just a matter of time before Scientology starts suing people, because there's a lot of money behind that voter block. You agree or disagree?
I agree 100%. I think Tom Cruise and Isaac Hayes has put more Scientology out there on the map, so to speak, and now it's already it's out there in their face, and this just makes it a stronger, you know, campaign for Scientology, and that's great. I think it's a great thing. I just think on his behalf, he should, don't know the man personally, obviously, but he should pick his fights when it's time to pick them, and he never picked it in the beginning. So why are you deciding to come outside and fight now?
You know? I agree with you. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Okay, here's the thought, is that what's happening now is just, you know, quickie reaction. Somebody's quitting, somebody probably threatened to sue Leno. That's not a Scientology issue, but again and again and again, people are complaining. You bring somebody up in a comedy sketch, they disagree with it. You bring up their religion in a comedy sketch, somebody disagrees with it. The far end of that is rioting because of a cartoon that shows up in a newspaper in Denmark. Okay? People got killed over that. That's the far end of the spectrum. What starts off now is the news is involved with people making comments, invoking the race card, saying, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, they're making fun of virtually everything. I think it's just a matter of months before people start filing lawsuits. And that way you can put comedians, you can put comics, you can put the writers, the humorists out of business very, very quickly. People will be terrified to try and use their First Amendment rights for this kind of a thing. Interesting calls, huh? And I'm very curious as to what would have happened if a bigger religion, a more popular religion, Scientology is small, you don't want to step on them, that's kind of un-American, you don't want to harass them, they're small. What if Jewish people started suing everybody who ever made fun of the religion? Think about it. What if Italian people, as one voter bloc, decided we're going to go after everybody who makes mob movies, we're going to make anybody who makes fun of Italians, etc., we're going to use it as a voter bloc, and we're going to start suing these humorists and these television shows out of existence. People would take a much stronger stand one way or another. I think it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. Probably by the end of the summer before you see Scientology starting to file well put together lawsuits. The kind of stuff that'll last between 3 and 7 years. Whew, how much does the average comedian make, man? Come on.
Mornings. 92.3 Free FM.
The voice speaks.
to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet. People of Earth, attention. People of Earth, attention.
Willkommen zu David Lee Roth, Zen und der Kunst des zuletzt Lachens. Welcome to David Lee Roth, Zen and the Art of Laughing Last.
Roth Radio. Don't forget Bert Kreischer coming up in a little bit here. He is from Fresh Baked Video Games, which airs Saturday nights at midnight. Gotta see this. And they're making fun of all the video games. I wonder how he's going to take on this here, you know, as far as the censorship issue here. But this is the show that spoofs the real life games like Grand Theft Auto, and they use produced sketches, and they're making fun of what's on the TV set today. He's going to be showing up. He's also been named the number one party guy by Rolling Stone magazine. I guess we relinquished the title officially, but that's Bert Kreischer. He's coming up in a little bit. Also, Steve Kandel from one of my favorite magazines, Blender. He's the writer for Blender magazine, and they're going to unveil their first ever Dick Awards, named after Dick Clark, of course. And Dick Clark, the man who created the concept of music on TV, is being honored by the Dick Awards that honor the craziest moments in all of music reality TV. And of course, the, you know, very familiar categories like the David Cassidy Never Had This Problem Award, the most unhip hip-hop moment on stage, and of course, my favorite, the lowest moment by a Motley Crue member. How do you tell the difference between a low moment and a high moment with Motley Crue? The low moments are the high points. So don't forget, Steve Kandel coming up from Blender Magazine in just a little bit here. The phones are lit up on Isaac, man. You know, then everybody, you know, we got an audience here that obviously pays some attention to South Park. And I also solicited the idea of what's happening with Jay Leno. He did a sketch, and somebody took umbrage to that. How do you draw the line on this? All of these humorists and all of these people are going to start drawing in the lines, so to speak. They're going to start playing it safe. And everybody's going to start channel surfing a lot more, as if it's not happening constantly now, looking for the real deal. And is this now going to impact what's going on cable as well? I think it's just a matter of time before Scientology or whoever, the Amish, whoever it is going to start getting involved in litigation. Same way, you know, they want to try and put gun stores out of business. You just tie them up in a whole variety of legal proceedings, make them hire litigation attorneys for how many hundreds of dollars an hour, and they're going to start playing it real safe. In fact, if they don't go out of business, I'd really hate to see that happen to something as pure as South Park, because that's going to extend to the movies, it's going to extend to virtually everything, even the banter between two people doing the news. Okay? Everybody's going to have to start playing it very, very safe. I think that'd be a disaster. Give me number 13. Somebody seems to know about Scientology. My concern is, did the company get behind Isaac? The company, there's a slip. Did Scientology as a group get behind Isaac and say, you can't participate in that more, in this anymore? That, to me, is a vile form of censorship. My friend David, are you on?
Yeah, Dave. Nice to talk to you. First time caller. Love your show.
Thank you so much. What do you think about all this?
Well, as I told your screener before, I'm not a Scientologist, but it's something that that I follow quite a bit. And
how do you follow this? How do you follow it?
Sometimes, every so often, there's something on the news about it. There's a lot of websites on the internet for and against Scientology. Every so often, something comes up about Scientology somewhere because it's just that kind of offbeat news that people get interested in every so often. And I saw something about it one day, and I decided, hey, you know, this sounds interesting. Not that I would actually be looking into it to get involved with it or anything, but just more to expand my horizons a bit.
And what did you discover? Did you go down and sign up? What did you discover?
Oh, no way. Not after some of the stuff that I've read. But
what did you read? Really, what stopped you? What did you read?
Well, First off, in relation to celebrities, which is specifically what you're discussing here, what happens with these celebrities is that in Scientology, they have this process called auditing. And I guess the best way to explain it is they do this auditing process and they get down to the roots of emotional and other negative problems that you've had throughout your life.
Sounds like psychotherapy, basic Freudian psychotherapy. Agreed?
On some level, yes, I'd agree with that. And what happens is whoever the auditor is sits you down and they start going through your mind and they tell you, think back in this. Oh, is this the worst memory that you've had? And then they say, no, there must be something else. And they keep going back farther and farther and farther until they're satisfied. And
Satisfied with finding what, Dave? Satisfied with locating what exactly?
Satisfied that you've expressed, say, whatever your deep, dark thing is that they determined is causing your problems. And they have this thing called an e-meter, which they read during this auditing process to determine whether or not you've cleared yourself of what they call a body thetan. And the way to clear yourself of these thetans is to go down into your deepest, darkest memories and cause this pain and anguish in your psyche that supposedly kills or drives out the thetans from your body.
Stop right there. This is fascinating. And thetans are like an electric emission or something that comes out of your pores, or what is that?
Believe it or not, the way I understand it, thetans are supposed to be the ghosts of dead aliens that used to live on the Earth millions of years ago.
Okay, so what does it mean when Tom Cruise is called a full-fledged fourth-level thetan? It's something like that. He holds a distinction. He has a rank and is called a full-level thetan. What does that mean? You work your way up until you become one of the ghosts?
Well, you work your way up through this. There's a multi-level. It's almost like a ladder, and you keep climbing this ladder, and the higher you climb this ladder, the more resistant you are to these thetans, the best way to explain it is the more pure or the more of these thetans and bad thoughts and bad spirits you've driven out of your mind and out of your body. And when you get to levels like OT3, OT4, things like that, where Tom Cruise claims to be, they say you also grant certain powers and certain abilities. Like Tom Cruise went around a couple months ago saying that he was able to cure somebody of their drug addiction.
Stop right there. How did he propose that he would cure somebody of a drug addiction?
He never really explained how.
Go figure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, wait a minute. The Scientologists have a major program designed to treat addiction, okay? And the basic ingredient in that is niacin. They basically sweat it out, okay? It's not much different than what Jack Osborne probably went through at the Buddhist monastery that treats drug addiction in Thailand. They throw up. Seriously, they do that all day and all night for a period of time. They have a special place they do it. Niacin causes kind of the same reaction. Your pores open up, you have a flush reaction, and you're basically sweating out whatever you brought in the first place. They're called drug bombs, and you can buy them in different packages. They'll sell you the pills, etc. I've known a number of folks who've gone and done this. Is this what Tom Cruise was proposing, or does he have a guru-esque kind of a, is he going to whale up a miracle?
I would say more of a guru-esque miracle stance, because Tom Cruise will also come out and say, just like other Scientologists will, that they don't believe in most forms of medication, especially psychological medication, and they preach how much it will hurt you and you shouldn't be taking these things and all these other things. So he would definitely suggest not taking medication. Matter of fact, he also came out, I believe, a year ago against Brooke Shields because she took some kind of medication for postpartum depression, I believe it was.
That's absolutely correct.
He came out to the news and he started screaming about how Brooke Shields is taking all this medication to, you know, affect her mind and how bad it is for her, and she doesn't realize it. And he sat there in front of I forget, it was Oprah or some other major figure during an interview, and came out and just said, you know, I know these things, you know, I know about psychology and psychiatry and all these things, and you know, I know how bad it is for you, and you know, he thinks he knows everybody's mind and how everybody should live, And again, this is all based in Scientology.
Let me ask you a question here. Isn't Tom one of the faces who has threatened to sue South Park? His name has come up in regards to, again, the censorship issue. Do they believe in squashing any contrasting views? Is this a fundamentalist approach?
I don't know about Tom Cruise in particular, but I do know that they have threatened internet websites such as Yahoo, Google, things like that, from presenting search results. For instance, if you type Scientology into a search engine, sometimes they have tried to push these search engines to prevent them from bringing up links that show opposing views to Scientology.
Fascinating. Have they actually filed any lawsuits on behalf of these kinds of this kind of a process in an effort to censor people? Has there been litigation yet?
Not actual litigation in an actual courtroom, but I believe what they did with Google or with these search engines, as I just mentioned, was they were threatening some sort of legal action, and they either bent over or before it went to court, they wound up complying with them just to prevent to take it to trial and things like that.
Hey, thanks for giving us a call. This was a fascinating illumination, huh? Renews my faith in Jesus.
David Lee Roth, mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about Little Fire Scarecrow?
Roth Radio. I'm going to take one more call here because I think we have something interesting that ties into what we've been speaking about here. I was going to swing the subject around a little bit. Go ahead and pick him up there, Hutch. Roth Radio, you're talking to D-Row. Hit it.
Yeah, I love the show there, Dave. I'm a Mormon, and it's interesting to hear the conversation this morning because it seems to me that so many people really, even though they claim to be religious, have almost no real faith in what they believe in. If you have to sue every time you turn around because somebody's made fun of your religion, I think we've got a real problem on our hands. Do they really have anything that's worthwhile in their life that they have to sue someone else because of some offenses that have been made?
And is this a Mormon position, or is this your position?
Well, this is my position, but as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you know, we've probably been the butt of as many jokes throughout the years as anybody else, but we've never been, counseled to go out and sue everybody just because we've got some joke or some comment or anything like that. So I think it really speaks to the fact that we've got a little bit more of a basis about our beliefs and about who we are.
Okay, Keith, if they made fun of you, for example, and your Mormonism, okay, if that's the correct term,
that's great.
Then what would be your take on that? Are you familiar with South Park in the first place?
I know what it is. I don't really watch that that particular show. But
okay,
do you
not watch it because of your own reason or because of a religious reason?
No, I don't watch it just because I just don't really like it. I do like The Simpsons, who ends up pretty much goring everyone's ox as far as that goes.
Okay, same. But if they made fun of you or your religion in general, what would be your take on it?
I would say, some of the things I actually find quite humorous, and that's another thing about when you talk a little bit earlier about satire and so forth. I think so many people are wound so tight that, you know, part of being able to cope with life is being able to laugh at yourself somewhat.
Is that a Mormon concept or yours?
But maybe a little bit of both. I mean, you know, the church teaches us that we need to be open-minded about things.
Okay, well, then let's swing with that. What do you think about this new show with Paxton and three wives, and he plays the part of a bigamist or whatever? I don't know if he's actually Mormon in the program, but, you know, their bigamy has always been part of the commentary involving with Mormons. What do you think is the church's position on that television show is currently?
Well, actually, they did send out a news release about that. They said that they did not want to have the show, you know, canceled. They didn't sue to have the show put off. They just put out a release that said the church has not been involved in polygamy or plural marriage for the past 140 years now. And so anything as far as that particular show or the views of that show is not an official stance of the church, you know, the church position. We haven't practiced it. We've discontinued it. And we, the people that actually in the church who practice that are excommunicated.
Oh, really? I was unaware of that. I thought there were still communities where that was practiced. And you're saying that that's not the case here in the United States?
No, they do have some communities, and they claim to have some very old Mormon ties, which maybe they do, you know, 100 years ago. But anybody that gets involved in polygamy at this point is excommunicated from the church. It's just not, it's not a practice of the church.
Okay, were you encouraged as a Mormon to not watch the show? Was that part of the memo?
Nope, they did not say do not watch the show. They just said be aware that this is the position of the church.
Gotcha. As a Mormon, are you a father, Keith?
Yes.
You let your kids watch that show?
No. Actually, to be honest with you, Dave, we don't have television. So.
Ah, what's the reflection on that? Why not having television? I'm fascinated.
I am not really impressed with a lot of the programming that's out now. I think it's just, you know.
Yeah, but none of us are. Is this a religious issue to you? Does it conflict with your religious bias? Is that why there's no television, or is it just because it's lousy programming and I'd rather read a book?
It's lousy programming. The church has never come out and said, you know, don't buy television, don't watch this program, don't watch that program. In fact, about every time an election comes around, they get up in church, the leaders do, and they say that they encourage people to be involved in the political process, but the church takes no position on which candidate to vote for, which party to vote for.
Okay, let's move ahead here. There is a program, several programs actually, companies who edit movies, whether it's a Spielberg or a Scorsese or what have you, and they have started editing out whatever would be alternative or averse to a religion like yours. And if I'm not mistaken, some of this, some of the companies who are involved in this are directly connected with the Mormon religion. I may be mistaken, but I don't think I am. And there's been a uproar about this over the last 5 years. They'll take out everything like cigarettes. They'll airbrush those out of the pictures. Love scenes, profanity, plot points that they feel are contrasting to a quote-unquote moral standpoint, a moral issue. And there are a whole lot of missing scenes and changed dialogue. What do you think about something like that? Is that acceptable to you?
Okay, you're partially correct.
Please share with us.
You bet. There has been members of the church who have started companies. The biggest example I can think of is when Titanic came out, and there was some people who were members of the church. The church didn't sanction it nor condone it or discourage it. They just were individuals who belong to the church. Anybody who owned a DVD or a tape or a cassette or whatever that wanted to come in to delete some of the scenes from the different movies that you can watch did it as a private enterprise. Now, as members of the church, we're encouraged not really to watch a lot of, you know, R-rated movies, gore, sex, all that.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Are you generalizing or are you given a specific list of films not to watch on a monthly basis?
No, it's not a specific list. I was just using that as an example.
Okay.
As far as the Titanic goes, but they encourage us not to watch, you know, movies that have bad ratings to them, that we need to be very specific. But it's not like the church comes into your house, goes through, you know, your video library and says, you know, we're going to take this out, and this out. But they encourage us to make the right choice.
Okay, but the right choice is a subjective issue. For example, in Titanic, the only thing there was a little bit of nudity when the kid was drawing a picture of the girl. She's laying on the couch. And then some premarital sex. You have to make that decision on your own. And did you make that decision and say, premarital sex, little bit of nudity, this runs contrary to the church's doctrine, exit out. Did you make that decision?
Yes, that's the types of decisions we make. But the church doesn't come in specifically say, you can watch this movie, but you need to delete these scenes. Or you can be involved in this, you know, type of thing, but you have to not do this action.
I got to admit to you, Keith, you keep saying to me, well, the church can neither confirm nor deny. They did not actually participate, but suggest in everything. This is like parents saying to you, look, I'm going to highly, highly advise you. That's what my father used to say. And is this the tone that it takes? Actually, share with us.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. In other words, you know.
Yeah, but that's an insistence. That's not a recommendation. Once the tone turns to clenched teeth a little bit and says, we highly advise you. And that's kind of what I'm hearing you say here, is that there is a lot of directives here that you can't really trace back. That sounds like successful organizing prowess to me. But you're saying, no, that it's left up to you, and that the church and yourself really has no problem with what's going on, for example, in South Park, that you would have no issues with them, taking the hammer to you and your religion, as they do to everybody's religion and race. Agreed?
Exactly. In other words, we would never take a stance and try to protest or go in and make some kind of legal action against it. Do I agree with it? No. I think things need to be done in taste, obviously. And people don't always exercise the right taste. But, you know, for us to go and start, producing lawsuits and trying to get people thrown off the air and so forth is... Now we're talking about an issue of agency, and we don't overrun people's agency.
Okay, because in Rolling Stone this month, there was a whole article about Scientology, and they are notorious, evidently, for suing people to get them to shut up, okay? Do you feel that this is something that's acceptable? Hey, just fight it out in a court of law, take your chances?
Well, to fight what? I mean, now you're getting into...
Somebody says something negative about you and your homestead, you can sue them for slander, libel, defamation, mental anguish, they tortured your kids mentally somehow, you claim that grandma is now mentally scarred for life, and you want damages. Do you think that that's okay?
No. I mean, it's just, you know, again, we're getting into semantics as far as...
No, we are not, my friend. We are getting into the reality part here. This is what truly exists. Suggestions, ideas, theory, morals, ethics, those are subjective, amorphous, abstract ideas. What's really happening is people are anteing up thousands and thousands of dollars for lawyers for lawsuits that they can't possibly fight. And that's going to put a whole lot of artists and a lot of people who hire the artists out of business. That's the intention. Do you have a problem with that?
I don't. I have a problem with the idea that we would become such a litigious society to the point where we're going to start shutting down businesses and so on and so forth. If we get into a point where there is just outright lies or misrepresentations that fall under the aspect of the law, you know, that might be one thing. But simply to have comments about someone's religion or make fun of a certain belief system, perhaps, or the way they live or the way they dress or so forth, you know, now you're getting way off things.
Thanks for giving us a call, Keith. I learned something here. Have yourself a great day.
Thanks a lot,
Dave. Roth Radio. This has been an illuminating... We know how to survive in case the Scientologists attack. We know to be scared of Tom Cruise. And we know to break for the commercials.
David Lee Roth in the mornings. 92.3 Free FM.